Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Bell! Man, how are you doing tonight?
I'm actually comfortable. My air conditioner was fixed.
Oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah, so now my brain's not melting as I try and record this.
This is good, man. This is definitely a week that does not want one to have their brain melted, at least not in any kind of negative way. Now, I don't know about you, because my brain was melted this week. Because never in the history of entertainment has there been quite the comeback that we've seen with this episode, man. Robert Downey Jr. ain't got nothing on this. In fact, you know what? Let's not call it a comeback. Let's call it a flashback. Man, we have got a huge episode to talk about this week. A massive, massive turn of events. Who could have foreseen that sticking the landing could be stuck in such a capacity? This was incredible. I know I'm like tipping the bean can here all the way. But man, it's been a minute since I've been this excited to get on the podcast and talk about the show. And I loved last week's episode. But dude, this one right here, man. Whew, are you ready to get into it?
Let's do it.
All right, man, let's jump into the rundown. Episode 18 of Season 7, Heart of the Matter, Part 2. Directed by Marcus Stokes and story by
Eric Wallace and Kelly Wheeler.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Well, Godspeed demands organic speed in exchange for ending the war. The Speed Force reawakens Bart and grants Iris super speed, and they fight the Godspeed drones alongside Team Flash. However, the Speed Force is forced to retreat when the drones begin to feed off of her energy, but Allegra arrives with Chester's device and removes the drone's speed just in time. Barry decides to grant Hart's request, restoring his memories. Against Cecile's urging, Hart reemerges with the drones. Suddenly, Eobard Thawne arrives and incapacitates Hart and makes a failed attempt on the Flash's life before escaping. Hart is sent to Iron Heights and his memory of Barry's identity is removed. Meanwhile, after using super speed to rescue Joe from an attack, Kramer learns that she is a metahuman with the ability to mimic other abilities like she did with her brother and leaves with a new perspective on law enforcement. Finally, Barry and Iris renew their wedding vows in front of their friends and family.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, you can't really dun-dun-dun that. Like, there wasn't really...
I mean, I got it. Bell, I got it. Hang on.
No, I would have done canon and D. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah, you know the rest.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was
I don't have to
good.
Continue to embarrass myself.
No, I mean, I thought it was great. I was blown away. Okay, so this episode right here, man. First of all, organic speed. We have been on this kick since like the beginning of this series, have we not, sir?
Yeah, you know, it's been kind of our thing. They finally have listened to us.
I don't know if that's it or if, like, you know, I don't know. I'd love to claim that, but that's probably not accurate. Regardless, it's the way it is. Like, we've always kind of latched on to the notion that, you know, that the Speed Force and kind of velocity and kind of this artificial speed versus, you know, and the way in which the Speed Force engages with you, you have to be, you know, more physically connected. There was more of like almost a pseudo biological nature to the way in which the Speed Force connects with the Speedster, in which the Speed Force connects with the timeline, in which the timeline connects to the universe. And, you know, if you go back even to like our earliest episodes of season one, we talk about kind of theories around this concept as well. And so it's like, it was very validating to see like, okay, we're going to address this. We're not going to start pretending like, you know, somebody using velocity is the same as an actual speedster. We're going to acknowledge the fact that no, there's a deficiency here, even when velocity is at its purest. Now they've completely thrown out the, you know, or, you know, any kind of need for the lightnings to mean anything. I would argue that at one point in this series, the lightnings, you know, the color of the lightnings did mean something, but especially this season with where they took the forces, it just didn't make sense to stick with that. And so, you know, they took it in a different direction. It bothered me a little bit. It doesn't anymore because honestly, this was cool. And we got a lot of really cool stuff this episode and we got the rule of cool at play here. So that pretty much trumps everything more often than not.
Yeah, certainly there's a lot of rule of cool here. Maybe there's an argument to say that White Lightning is perfected artificial speed force and that it doesn't destroy you. Maybe, I don't know if that's still a thing.
That's true, but Bell, at work, please just call me Bo. Yes.
What did I say?
You said White Lightning is kind of a joke. Oh.
Wow, that one just flew right over my head.
Right over your head. It ran right by you on that one. Yeah, man. Look, we got some great stuff. I love the fact that tied directly into Godspeed's whole deal, right? Like he's been, you know, he was the creator of velocity in this, you know, post-crisis world. He is, but he's unsatisfied. He has been living essentially as a false god. He calls himself Godspeed, but he is a false god. He's not a true god of speed. And without having that direct connection to the speed force, without having that organic connection to the speed force, he will always be just a pretender. And so, you know, here in the final episode, we finally kind of get an explanation for what his motives are and kind of what he's after. And I got to tell you, man, it was very satisfying. I thought that was a very satisfying kind of explanation for why a television villain is doing what they're doing. And that's not something that we always get. That's not something that we always get from this show, let alone any show. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Think back. Remember Zoom? Remember season 2 when Zoom was like, what is he doing? And then it's revealed, I'm going to destroy the multiverse because I'm crazy.
Yeah, you know, what are you gonna do?
That was a little less than satisfying. Here, man, I feel like we have gotten the reverse television season to some extent, because the entire season as a whole, not all that great, a little all over the place, let's say, and you know, maybe a little lackluster in some of the storytelling, but at the very tail end, you know, chef's freaking kiss. I mean, like everything, in my opinion, about this episode was absolutely perfect. It was, I think. And I know I'm gushing here, but I think this was the best season finale, and it could even stand, and maybe this was their mindset at the time because they didn't quite know where things were going to go at that point. But I mean, like, this could even be like the series finale. It's that caliber, that quality. It will go down in history as the best season finale of all time.
You think
of the
so?
Show anyway. Of the show anyway.
Well, yes. I mean, the best thus far, because we don't know what season 8 has yet.
That's true. I mean, like, but it's going to be hard to top this. I mean, think about it. We got every single generation of speedster on this show here coming, you know, against Godspeed. We got the big surprise reveal of Eobard Thawne being resurrected for the sole purpose of defeating Godspeed. I mean, we could talk about Barry's poor decisions there, but that tracks. Barry always has poor decisions when it comes to releasing villains it's like, I can't get rid of this villain. Let's get another villain, but he's escaped. We'll deal with it in the future. Yeah. Trading problems with the future. That's his jam. But yeah. Regardless, no, man, this was excellent. This was absolutely excellent.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a complete 180 from some of the earlier episodes. As the season progressed, the closer it got to the end, the better the episodes got, I feel.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
I mean, there is still some, you know, some bangers earlier in the season and stuff like that. But, you know, I think these last couple episodes have just really been the pinnacle of the season, which I guess is kind of what you want at the end of the season, to have your best kind of stuff so the rest of the season doesn't drag. But, you know, yeah.
I mean, I am like wondering, am I throwing this off though? Like, is it one of those situations where everything else was kind of so bad that this feels like the most amazing thing ever because the expectations are so low at the moment? Or, I mean, like, tell me, man, am I off here?
I mean, I don't know. I will say I did laugh out loud when Bart threw lightning ninja stars.
Okay, no, that was great. How dare you? I knew you were going to say something about this. All right, look. No, that is a specific and direct move from the DC Universe Online game.
I don't doubt it. And then, like, you know, XS used the lightning whip, which makes sense because, I mean, lightning's kind of, you know, It's a plasma, you know, it kind of goes through the air and curves and things like that. And has
Okay, fine. You know what? You were about to OMG Speed Force all this. And like, let me tell you something. I'm prepared. There is justification for all the craziness that we saw this episode. And it's not just Rule of Cool, Bell. All right, but go ahead. Bring it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought, you know, the whip, I guess, kind of made sense. You know, Barry's been able to throw lightning before. And so, right. You know, the ninja stars are an extension of that, I suppose.
Sure. Right. Mm-hmm.
I would assume that like Wally would have been the first person to kind of show these sorts of things due to his connection to the Speed Force and whatnot.
Okay, so that's the big explanation, right? Like we have seen like anybody that's gonna have some sort of negative reaction to the fact that we saw lightning constructs that were utilized as weapons throughout this episode, right? Not just the lightning lasso, which we saw earlier.
Yeah.
But not just the stars, but you know, the Speed Force lightning sabers, okay? Like
lightning sabers, yeah. I was about to bring them up.
Like that's the thing, right? Now, rule of cool, all right? Now, it doesn't matter if you don't think that that's how the Speed Force works. It was awesome, and you shut up, and you move back in the class because this has been a long season, and we got that for a season finale, and if you don't appreciate it, then you don't deserve this season finale, okay? That's the first thing, okay?
You know, George Lucas gonna sue somebody.
Yeah, he is gonna definitely sue somebody over that. But regardless, Bell, like we saw with Wally, like a very extensive use of kind of manipulating the Speed Force to create these lightning constructs. You're right. It would have been way better if we had Wally in this episode for a number of reasons. But I think one of the biggest reasons is because we got a chance to see kind of these constructs used so extensively, I think it would have flowed a little bit better from that standpoint for sure. But regardless, we've seen it before. This is within the canonical use of Speed Force in this show. So it's not like it was completely out of left field. It may have felt like that for some people, but go back. Look at what Wally was showing him when last time he was on the series. On top of that, too, we're looking at the younger speedsters and the most advanced amongst them utilizing that power. Now, if it was Jay, that would feel a little out of place, but it wasn't Jay. Jay just did the cool Captain America throwing his helmet thing, which was awesome.
Yeah, like that makes sense, right? He's using the Speed Force to like throw a helmet. I mean, that makes sense.
It all makes sense, Bell. Shut up. Give me this dadgum episode. It was amazing.
Oh, I'm totally giving it to you. I mean, I'm not saying that I didn't enjoy it any less, but I did laugh out loud at certain moments.
Okay, all right. What else, man? What else?
Well, the ninja stars and the lightsabers and, you know, the
lightning sabers. It's the lightning sabers.
Sorry, the lightning saber.
The legally differentiated lightning saber.
Very, very legally differentiated. Yeah, no. Yeah, like, I'm not saying that it made me enjoy the episode any less, all right? I'm just saying that I wasn't expecting it, and my immediate reaction was like, that's ridiculous, but cool. And I'm not saying it was bad. I wasn't like, oh, this episode was terrible because they threw lightning sabers at each other and lassos made of light. It wasn't that. It was like, that is ridiculous. That's awesome. Kind of thing.
Okay.
Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Like, I'm not saying that like it detracted from the episode to me, but I still think it was ridiculous. That doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it.
I think you're ridiculous. I think it was amazing.
Look, I rewatched all of the Fast and Furious movies recently, and those just get more and more and more ridiculous the more, like, the further into the series that you get. Like, right. I haven't seen F9 yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if they wind up in space.
If your barometer for, like, Rule of Cool allowing it to be so is Fast and the Furious, then we got no problem. I think we're okay here.
Like, yeah, Rule of Cool definitely applies here. But that's not to say that Rule of Cool doesn't make things ridiculous sometimes. They're still enjoyable. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe the thing to me was, is like, yes, you're right. We see Wally doing a lot of really interesting stuff with the Speed Force and things like that. But, like, we haven't talked. I mean, they mentioned Wally like twice this season,
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
About like, oh, we can't get his help or whatever. And so, you know, it would have been, it might have been more interesting to introduce the kids earlier on for like, I don't know, like one off, two off kind of things to like, hey, Dad, check out this new thing that I'm learning about the Speed Force. But like, it felt like in these last two episodes.
Yeah.
Last three episodes, it just kind of came out of nowhere.
It was rushed. Don't get me wrong. It was definitely rushed. And I mean, it kind of had to be. And I would argue that it was actually, to some extent, better for it. It crammed a lot of the awesome all at once. And it just made for an incredible episode. You know, to me, it kind of reminds me of commentary that I think I can't remember if I read it or I heard it in a podcast, but like a while back, long time ago, when the Simpsons movie came out, there was this commentary about how the Simpsons were no longer good and they hadn't had a good television episode in forever. And then the movie came out and it's like, oh, This is where they were keeping all the good jokes. Like, this is where all of this has been. They've just been saving it for the movie. And so to some extent, this is kind of how I feel about this episode. Like, oh, this is where the good Flash stuff is. They've been saving it for the finale. Honestly, I think I'm okay with it. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's, you know, choices were made throughout this season, to be sure. And I mean, like, it'll always go down, I think, probably as the worst season of the series. But ironically, and perhaps beautifully, it has the best season finale of the series, regardless of whether or not you were okay with the lightning constructs. I mean, that's on you. You know, it's fine. You can like what you like, and that's okay. And you can, I suppose, hate what you hate. But over here, not going to accept that kind of hate. We're going to appreciate them.
Zero hate, just enjoyable ridiculousness.
Enjoyable ridiculousness. I can definitely handle enjoyable ridiculousness. And
are you sure about that?
If I can say
it. You can't seem to say the words.
This is true. Hey, by the way, we got a lot in this. Chester busting out his dad's device. You know, the funny thing is he keeps on referring to the SEE as his pop's device, but it's modified. He's modified it like 3 or 4 times. At some point, when is it just Chester's device?
I think that's going to be a point of character growth for him next season.
Yeah, he needs to, you know, kind of get out of his dad's shadow a little bit. It's nice that he had that kind of point of connection with him and everything, and it was definitely a part of his character, to be sure, but... You know, like, somebody needs to pull him aside and be like, dude, you have modified this so many times that, like, I'm pretty sure even, like, if your dad was to take you to court, you'd win the case. Like, this is yours. This isn't his anymore.
I think it's sufficiently different at this point.
And we did see that it was good for kind of one big blast with kind of the Allegra power-up. We see her kind of tapping into those ultraviolet powers. So really kind of seeing the completion of her storyline from this season and this. It was... brief, but after kind of two kind of heavy episodes of kind of building to this point, it was the charge up that she needed to get to this big final punch and knock out the collection of Godspeeds, or a good portion of them here.
But she didn't go Super Saiyan. Like, I like that. You know, I'm glad that they kind of concluded that thing. And now, you know, she has this control over her powers from, you know, Chester's heart and stuff. But I wanted to see the full body glow, like, you know, the energy coming out of her heart, sort of like, you know, Super Saiyan glow. They showed it. Oh, it hit 500%. I was like, that's cool. But like, why can't she glow?
No, I hear that. And I mean, like, that would definitely be cool. But, you know, this was a moment. This episode was really kind of a moment for the Flash family. This was the Flash family episode. And I mean, like, even like, you know, Frost, and we got Mecha Vibe and everything, they only really got like one quick scene that was, you know, pseudo throwaway. Like, this was really the episode where I don't know, maybe the season or the series finale will get something very similar to this. But when you consider that we got Jay, who obviously is, you know, the doppelganger of Barry's dad, we got Nora, you know, quote unquote Nora, who is the Speed Force doppelganger of his mom. We got his wife. We got his kids. We got, you know, this is a family, like everybody, and like more so than the Flash comic book connections of the Flash family. Here we're dealing with like very interconnected members. Jay is kind of an adopted father for sure. With, you know, from the standpoint of like, you know, or kind of like not an adoptive father, I'm sorry. Jay's kind of an adopted uncle for Bart. But at the same time, he's legitimately Bart's grandfather to some extent, right? Like, and like in this iteration.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at least he looks just like his grandfather.
Well, are we going to talk about this? Because we obviously see that Jay... Not only does Jay look like, you know, look like Henry, but his wife also looks a lot like Nora.
And I think the only reason that works is because they're both dead. Like, I think that's how it works. I think that's how Oliver was able to kind of like merge everything down, is because there wasn't going to be a doppelganger issue, right? Like, there's not two people who look exactly the same. One's Henry Allen and one's Jay Garrick, you know, or Nora and Jay Garrick's wife.
It is interesting, though. I haven't really considered it before, but I mean, like, we're living in, you know, Earth Prime, thanks to the machinations of Oliver Queen, who kind of, you know, he could have done anything theoretically. And if he could pull in the doppelganger of Henry Allen and save Jay Garrick, then couldn't he technically have created a world in which Henry didn't have to die?
Maybe it was like a thing, you know, with the snap, you know, where the Hulk tried to bring Nat back, but he couldn't because she died as a result of getting the stones, not from the
interesting.
Stones.
So he could merge because he also brought back because he brought back Diggle's daughter,
yeah.
But she didn't necessarily die. She was just eradicated from a timeline.
Well, she was changed. Like she became Diggle's son.
No. They were definitively two different people. Because like he because in the post crisis world, they both exist.
That's right.
So that's what I'm saying. Like they Barry changed the timeline, and then you know, so instead of a daughter, they had a son, and then Oliver changed it back. Except he didn't change it back. He actually made it so they have both. Kind of almost, you know, you could argue, kind of similar to what happened with Nora and Bart, because Nora was removed from the timeline, but now in the new post-crisis future. We have a situation where we're dealing with, you know, her and her brother as opposed to just her.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's not a one for one, but kind of similar.
Yeah, it's similar. It's similar, but I'm still sticking by the fact that I think it was something where to undo that would either fundamentally change Barry because his parents are still alive or do something weird. I don't know. I think it's. You know, it's crisis. I ain't got to.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, like that is the right answer right there. Is you really just don't have to explain anything with crisis. It's weird as the way it is in the comics, and that's perfectly appropriate here. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
It's weird, but it makes sense, and it does give us this great episode where we get a chance to see all the speedsters. Let's talk about the fighting styles that we got a chance to see, because it was as much as it would have been great to have even more. It was kind of brief, and that's okay. We did get to see that lightning lasso, kind of a callback to what we saw from Nora earlier this season. We did get a chance to see, as you mentioned, Bart with the throwing stars. We got a chance to see Jay doing the hat throwing thing, which is awesome. He charged it up. These are all of the speedsters operating on this kind of newfound kind of power boost that they were given by the Speed Force, who, by the way, super OP in this fight.
Yeah, just, you know, what, snaps her fingers and like all the Godspeeds just poof out.
Yeah, it's almost like, okay, actually guys, why are the rest of you here?
It seems like, you know, Speed Force Nor could have just taken care of them all.
Yeah, which is nice that they explained it pretty quick, because otherwise that would have felt really off to some extent. Like, you know, almost immediately it was like, okay, this is not going to work with Nora here, and like there's just no reason for anybody else to even be part of this fight. So I love the explanation of, like, you know, she literally is what Godspeed's after, is a direct connection with her. So her physically being there is a massive danger to, you know, to everyone in the midst of this fight. So I'm glad they addressed it and, you know, got her gone as quickly as possible.
Yeah. I mean, they had to do something about it. And so I think they handled that well.
Nice nod, by the way, to, you know, I liked the little moment between her and Jay when he says, you know, you look like somebody who's very close to me. And she's like, I get that a lot. Thought that was pretty good. In the fight, we also got a chance to see the return of Speedster Iris and, you know, utilizing the air twister moves, which was pretty sweet. I got to tell you, I don't hate Speedster Iris. I kind of like her as a speedster.
I do too. Like the whole Flash family thing getting together was amazing. Like it was absolutely awesome. Probably the best, you know, bit of the one of the best bits of the episode for sure.
Yeah. Listen, this show has taken so many creative licenses with the characters. I mean, like, it's extremely different from the comic books at this point. And especially after this past season with what they did with the Forces and everything, I kind of feel like all bets are off. Just let them go crazy. They've decided to go crazy, you know? And it's like, if we're still on board, like, all right, like, take advantage of the fact that you've gone crazy and everybody that's watching after this season is just kind of, like, bought in for it.
Yeah.
And just, you know, do crazy stuff. Create some insane lore. Like, that's what other comic book properties that have gone to the television have done. And that's what got us things like, you know, Harley Quinn. That's a crazy concept that occurred on a cartoon show. And it's like one, you know, has become like one of the bigger characters in DC, in the comic book universe and otherwise. And so, you know, I'm just saying, Speedster Iris for season 8. Well, I'm down.
And like, yeah, like, look at Legends, right? Like Legends really leaned into what their show was, which was, you know, a kind of like a ridiculous time travel thing. And it made it work so well. And, you know, like lean into these things that you're doing here. Like you don't have to be, you know, adherent to the established comic canon. Yeah. Like go out on a limb, do cool stuff. And, you know, you'll be rewarded with it. Like I really enjoyed Speedster Iris. I'd love to see more of that. I'd love to see more Flash family stuff. I think that'd be really, really cool. Maybe not like a time jump into the future where it's Bart and Nora in their own time, but let's get a Flash family get together for next season, and just that would be really cool, right?
Yeah. Well, so do you think that the kids are staying around for next season?
We didn't say goodbye to them, so I would assume perhaps.
I'm kind of wondering, right? Because you're right, we didn't say goodbye to them. It seems like, I don't know.
Well, look.
It seems like if they were gone, we would have said goodbye.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to have a baby like, Cecile and Joe's baby. Because when Barry and Iris, eventually have kids, if they show that in the show, that's just going to make things really weird. Maybe they're going to just be like, you know what? You're here now, so everything's cool. And that's just how it is.
Maybe. So let me pitch this to you this way. What if the kids stay? What if one of those things is kind of like a, the kids go back to the future and then they come back and they're like, oh, Bart, Nora, you just left. What's wrong? Did we turn out to be terrible parents? It's like, no, it's not you, Mom and Dad. It's your kids. It's us.
Yeah.
And it's one of those situations where they have to stay to help take care of themselves. Like they're babysitting themselves to some extent, I'm just saying there's fun time travel shenanigans that could occur there.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, do something like that. Throw everything to the wind. We don't have to whiteboard out the time travel anymore. Clearly that's, they've thrown the meaning of lightning colors and stuff like that we thought was a big deal and was something out the window. So, whatever.
I'm not too mad about it. I think in the end, the way everything worked out was really good. Plus the time travel in particular, man, we got a Eobard resurrected and kind of brought back. We got a chance to see a pretty epic throwdown between Godspeed and Eobard and Barry. And yeah, all right, so let's talk about this. So George Lucas, of course, I'm going to sue somebody. That's just true. But regardless, what was your thoughts? Right, first of all, did you have that moment spoiled for you, or were you did you get it? The return of Eobard Thawne, was that spoiled for you?
Oh, yes, it was. I scrolled through Twitter and somebody had posted that scene with all of them holding their lightning sabers.
Yeah,
and I was kind of bummed about that, honestly.
So this has been the case all season long, man. Like I've been watching. So I got it on Amazon Prime, and I've been watching it the next day. Has kind of been my main, viewing schedule. And man, YouTube is what got it for me. Like somebody put it in the thumbnail, and it was like the return of Eobard Thawne, and he's sitting there, and it's like the two of them with the sabers. And I'm like, whoa. But it was still awesome when it happened. I was a little bummed that it was spoiled, but it did not take away from the awesome factor.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess Eobard's coming back. Well, now I get to see how it happens and what the result of that is, because I didn't know at that point from watching the picture that they were teaming up to beat Godspeed. It's one of those things where it's like, why do people have to post spoilers on the internet the day after the show airs?
I mean, it's TV, but you're right. I mean, I think at this point we kind of recognize that people's viewing habits are such that it's a la carte, it's by demand. It's not necessarily, hey, if you didn't watch it live, then, you're out of luck. But at the same time, I'm the guy that wakes up at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. to catch the Disney Plus shows.
Yeah. And yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, where it's like, I wake up in the morning, my morning routine, I kind of scroll through social media a little bit. And that's what happened this morning, where I was like, all right, I'm just going to scroll through some social media here before my first meeting of the day. And somebody just posted that picture. And I'm like, it doesn't matter what they said in the tweet. It doesn't, none of that stuff matters, because I didn't read that. But scrolling through it, I just wanted to get it off the screen. And but it's too late at that point. You've already seen it. And it's just, especially for a YouTube thumbnail, why would you put that as the,
I know,
yeah, you know, huge spoilers, return of such and like return of X or something like that. And, don't hint at what it might be, because what's the point of saying spoilers if you're just going to put the spoiler in the thumbnail or something like that?
Yeah. I will say this though. I mean, it did not take away from the moment, because it was great to see Barry at this stage in the game, totally knowing Thawne's game, to see him kind of in a position of power with Thawne, which is something I don't think we've ever really seen
before. No, we haven't. And that was really, really neat. Like, you're right. It's like, you know, all of this stuff they were talking about, how Godspeed was Bart's Thawne and the problems that Thawne has caused for Barry. But just to see him in control of his emotions around Thawne, it's a brand new Barry. And I think that's why, you know, Thawne was like, what have you done? Like, what did you do? How is this possible? How are you not, you know, completely impacted by my presence here? And like, how are you getting the upper hand? You know, like,
okay, that right there, man, that was huge. And I mean, to me, like, you know, speaking of Star Wars, that reminded me a ton of, I guess it was Star Wars Rebels, where Maul and Obi-Wan face off for the last time.
Oh, I've seen that clip. Yeah.
All right. So speaking of spoilers, and this has been years, so I do kind of feel like, you know, you should either you know or you don't know. But in Star Wars Rebels, you know, Darth Maul, who survived Phantom Menace, he has been on this quest since the Clone Wars, and all throughout kind of his time on Star Wars Rebels, he is like infatuated with one goal, which is to defeat Obi-Wan Kenobi. He wants to kill Obi-Wan. Like, that's his whole deal. This dude cut him in half. He wants him dead. And it consumes his life. His hatred for Obi-Wan consumes his life. And so when they finally get down to, like, the battle, Obi-Wan, like, you know, if you think about when they fought as kids, they were, like, all over the place, swinging around and lightsabers, you know, all that kind of good stuff. And when the fight goes down, it is like 1-2 over, like two swings and it's done. Obi-Wan cuts him down like he's butter, like it's nothing.
Well, you know, I saw this really neat article about this, like a video breakdown of it. But like the move that gets Qui-Gon, it's like, you know, he does a kick or whatever. And then he like, you know, stabs him. And if you watch that scene and then you watch the Rebels thing of that, he does the exact same move Maul does, but Obi-Wan counters it and kills Maul with it. I thought it was like, you know, poetic justice kind of stuff.
Well, and there's a lot going on there, right? Because not only is it that he counters on the same move that killed his master, but it's a commentary on the fact that Maul has been so obsessed with revenge, he's not grown. He is still stagnant. He's allowed this hatred to keep him from being better than he should be. Whereas Obi-Wan grew. Obi-Wan is not, you know, like Obi-Wan is able to kind of let go of his attachments, and thus he was able to kind of grow in his abilities. So in the time that they were gone, in the time that Thawne's been gone, and he's like, what did you do? Like, he's like, what have you done during this time? And Barry's like, I got faster. What did you do? Like, and the answer is Eobard like didn't. He's been consumed by his hatred. He hasn't been bettering himself. Because he's not interested in bettering himself. He's just interested in besting Barry.
And that's the thing, is like when, you know, he started out, he was already better than Barry, right? And so he didn't need to be better than Barry because he already was. And now Barry has used all this time to get faster, to be better. And like you said, you know, Eobard just spent all that time hating Barry and not getting better because he never needed to.
Right. Well, and plus it, you know, we've talked about this before, but like over the years, there've been so many different power-ups that Barry's gotten, you know, like communing with the Speed Force and then getting like a speed jump and a boost and this and that and the other. And then he loses speed, but then he comes back stronger than ever. And so like, there's been this constant like growth and power level that Barry has experienced. And so it's so great to like put him here toe to toe with his greatest nemesis, you know, the original speedster villain, right? And when he goes to throw that punch, it's like the Matrix.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden, you know, Barry's just kind of looking at it, you know, going right by. It almost kind of reminded me of Spider-Man, the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man and the
when he's fighting Flash, ironically.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even think about that, but yeah.
Yeah. I got a very big, you know, he's beginning to believe moment, right? Like from the Matrix, that was definitely what it was for me. Cause it was like that pinnacle of power of what Flash has achieved. And, you know, his realization that like, I can defeat you. And like, I'm no longer, you will not control me anymore. I am in control of my own fate and my own destiny. And, you know, I have put the time in and the effort in to be my best, not to beat you, right? To be my best self.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas Eobard was exactly the opposite. His focus was on beating Barry, not becoming the best. And Barry, you know, didn't focus on that, and therefore he is better.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah. No, it was handled so well. And it worked great because, you know, Godspeed, you know, his motives as a villain, I thought, worked really well. But we didn't have any kind of emotional connection to him. And so it helped to have at the end of this season kind of that cathartic emotional growth moment for the Flash tied to a villain. And I think it sets up really nicely whatever their future, you know, dynamic is going to be. My guess is that, you know, when we see Eobard, you know, it's going to be as kind of the big bad of the final graphic novel of this series. And he will, at this point, has been totally resurrected. So there, you know, we know that he's back. We know that he's Tom Cavanaugh. We know that he is going to be doing something because he's aware of who Barry is now and that he is not the kid that, you know, he set up to be struck by lightning so many years ago. It's a different world now. It's a different universe. And so therefore Eobard is going to have to like up his game in a big way. And I'm excited to see it, man. I think they did some really special things with bringing Eobard back here at the very tail end. I think it worked really well, provided a ton of energy into everything, and I was stoked to see it. All right, so the renewing of the vows. Now, this is interesting. I don't know if you saw this. I want to say this was on during the DC fandom during the pandemic. You remember that?
Yes.
All right, so I want to say it was during the Q&A with the cast of Flash with Candace and Grant specifically, and somebody like wrote in or asked, saying like, hey, you know, they, you know, Barry and Iris have been through so much during this whole, you know, season of her being in the Mirrorverse and then, you know, having to, you know, getting back and not really feeling back, you know, do y'all think that they should renew their vows? And Grant and Candace were all for it. They're like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so not only is it great because, you know, they have been through so much in recent years. And I think that there's this season in particular, I don't know, they felt a little off. So it was kind of nice to see this and kind of get connected to that Westalin fandom and shipperhood or whatever you want to call it. But also, Belle, their wedding was kind of crashed. And no, I don't mean by the Nazi planet. I mean, it was kind of crashed by Elicity.
Yeah. They're like, oh, you guys are getting married? Can we get married with you at the same time?
Oh, we're
going
to get married too. Yeah.
They're like, yeah, that'd be great. We'll have a double ceremony because this isn't like, you know, our special day. We'll share it with you.
Right. That was awful. I remember being so ticked off at the time when they just like moseyed their way on in here and like, oh, we're going to get married too. And it's like, y'all, this is not y'all's episode. This is not y'all's series. This, come on, guys. No, this is ridiculous.
They're sitting there like, oh, we didn't know you guys were getting married right here at the same place that we're getting married at the same time. That's a crazy coincidence.
That was ridiculous. That was offensive and wrong. And I half expected Belle during the ceremony for Oliver and Felicity to pop in from purgatory and just be like, oh, and y'all renewing y'all's vows? Yeah, we were going to renew our vows too. Cisco, do us next. Do us next.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I was thinking that, you know, it would be hilarious if Stephen Amell, you know, made one more appearance just to ruin Barry's wedding again. But, you know, they did have kind of a surprise there. It wasn't a bad surprise, but they did kind of have to share the stage for a little bit with Bart, who apparently has some, he can sing, he can belt it.
Bro can sing?
Yeah, didn't realize
Come
that.
Yeah, he got his dad's pipes.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, that was great. I that was Crash.
That was, don't.
No.
It just sounds weird when you say it.
Right? No, it's just... I thought I was just doing it right. That was great too. I loved that.
Yeah, that was good.
Oh man, I hope the kids stay. You know, I love Nora, I love Bart. They just add such energy to the show, and I don't know what has or has not been announced in terms of what we can expect for the future thus far, but I love them, man. I love the kids.
Yeah,
I want to keep them.
Bart, like Nora was a breath of fresh air when she came on the show. You know, for her whole season, and Bart was the same thing. Like as soon as he stepped on the stage, it's like he belongs here, and like
chewed up all the scenery.
Yeah, like for real, like just is perfectly at home in this show. And it would be a shame not to use that next season.
Yeah. It'd be great if we had some kind of just kind of continuation of future plot lines or something of that nature. At this point, the rumor mill and kind of what has been discussed is that we might be getting into some sort of horror based villain or supernatural based villain. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. If that's the case, then perhaps Wally's command of the Speed Force and kind of what he knows would come into handy. And it would be great for him to, you know, meet his nephew and niece. Did Wally ever meet Nora?
I don't know.
I don't think he did. I can't recall though.
I think for the last season though, it would be great to have Wally come back so we can have like a full Flash family. I mean,
wait, no, he was there. He was there when she walked in the door. I'm sorry. I just remembered. Like she was there. He was there.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, but saying. Yeah. I just think it'd be really great if we got like, one or two episodes of Wally coming back just for a little bit. You know, just to have that Flash family thing, like come back in the finale to like, you know, help the final battle or something like that. I just think that'd be really, really cool to see all the speedsters who've been on the show. Even Speedster Iris, like I'm telling you, run with that. Like, you know, no pun intended. Have Jay, Wally, Bart, XS. Well, I guess Nora. I use XS so to not confuse the Speed Force Nora, although Speed Force Nora can show up too.
I mean, yeah, we're in it now.
Maybe.
Sure.
I mean, whatever. Yeah.
No, it is what it is. I'm fine with it. I can make peace with it. It works.
It's kind of like, you know, when you have an invite and like, you know, there's somebody else in the room and like you weren't intending on inviting them, but they're there. So like, yeah, you know, Speed Force Nora, you can. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can totally come. No, it's perfectly fine.
Oh, you're here.
No,
yeah. Yes.
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You can totally come.
Since you're here.
But no, I mean, yeah, I just think that'd be really cool to have everybody back. Because like that's the thing, right? Like if we get rid of the kids next season, hopefully I'm hoping the next big bad, at least in one of the, you know, quote graphic novel stories that they do next season, is going to be Eobard. It has to be Eobard.
Yeah.
You know, in this final two episodes, Barry helped Bart defeat his Thawne, so Bart should help Barry defeat his Thawne, which is the Thawne.
Well, okay, so we'll see. Like I think it depends on what's in store for the show as a whole. I think if we are looking at next season being the last season, then it'll be Thawne. But I think otherwise, we're probably saving him for the series finale.
Yeah, and that's
my assumption.
Well, and I think that makes sense. I think that's what it needs to do. And I wonder, you know, just to be a fly on the wall in the writers' room, just to see like what they're planning on doing, where they want to take the show. Because I'm sure there's the executives are saying, well, the show's profitable, let's keep it going as long. Or if they're like, you know, hey, let's draw it up and conclude it. You know, I don't know. I mean, we know season 8's going
to
be there.
The writers have had to deal with us complaining about everything all season. They're probably sick of us right now.
No, that's why you're a fly on the wall. You don't say anything. You just get really mad and buzz in their face when they do something you don't like.
Oh, yeah. That's probably, you know, in that case, we actually are flies on the wall.
You are nothing to Vigo. You're like the buzzing of flies.
Y'all listen to this Flash TV talk. They said at the beginning of the season they were going to give us grace. And then by the end of it, they were ragging on us like crazy.
Yeah, well.
Talking out of the side of the mouth. They're crazy. Crazy. Anyways. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see where it ends up going. I'm excited for it, man. I think we got a lot of fun stuff. Oh, my goodness. How could we not talk about the most important part of this episode?
Kramer versus Kramer, yo.
Kramer versus Kramer, man. Like, this is the triumphant end of the very important side quest that was Kramer versus Kramer.
Which, like...
And the big reveal, the world-changing reveal that Kramer is a meta-human. And that now, because she's a metahuman, she cares.
She likes metas now.
And just like that, she wasn't racist anymore.
Her shriveled...
I'll be the racist dragon.
Meta, yeah. Her shriveled meta-hating heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know. The biggest disappointment that I had for the whole Kramer v. Kramer storyline is that they did never say Kramer versus Kramer.
Not once. Although I've got to tell you, for a quick second there, for like a hot second, I thought that we had called the Kramer versus Kramer versus Kramer versus Kramer when it looked like she was going to be a Godspeed.
Yeah, I was like, what is going on?
I was like, no way. Did we call that? And then, you know, and then she ends up being an empath, which is funny because she wasn't very empathetic.
Well, she's not an empath. She's a mimic. Cecile's an empath.
I guess it depends. All right, so on Heroes, an empath was somebody who could take on the abilities of other hero or superpowered individuals.
So that was like Skylar?
That was like Skylar. That was like Peter Petrelli.
Oh, Peter Petrelli. Yeah. He was the big one.
Yeah, specifically. Yeah, he was an empath.
I didn't know that. Well, I mean, like, I don't. I usually think of empaths as someone who deals with, like, you know, manipulating emotional states and like more mind control-y kind of stuff.
See, mind control-y stuff implies that, like, you know, you're not, you know, it's not just like feeling what they're feeling. She has some empathic ability in the sense that she's like, you know, she knows how they feel, but since she can also manipulate their emotions, that's not exactly, I don't know. I wouldn't call it a one for
but
one.
That's what, top spinning top,
the top.
She said she was an empath.
Oh,
to Cecile.
Well then there you go. Okay. Well, then I guess then that their terminology is different.
Yeah, like in this universe, empath is Cecile, and I would say, I mean, I think we had a mimic before. Has there been like a
meta mimic?
Yeah, she's more like a mimic, or, you know, like a rogue or something like that. She just has to be in proximity of a meta, and it looks like stress active. You know, basically like, oh, there I got to do something. Oh, there's a meta over there. Now I can pick up this car and run away with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So look for her to join Team Flash as a series regular.
Look, I know this sounds bad, but like, what was the conclusion with that? Like, I'm trying to remember for the life of me what happened when Joe and Kramer, did they beat Crikey, her brother guy?
Crikey.
What is his name?
Kramer.
Kramer, the other Kramer. You know, did they beat the bad Kramer?
He was a clone or something. There was a Godspeed war going on. We didn't have time for
that. That's why, but like, I'm seriously trying. So they blew the car up, they chase after him, and they caught him, right?
I thought he got away. And like, no, they caught him and they're like, no, do the right thing and help the kids by doing the right thing. But then, no, he blew up the car. No, then he blew himself up, didn't he?
See, that's,
this was only 2 weeks ago. This
I
is
know.
Bad.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
don't we do this professionally?
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what's so crazy about this is, like, those last several episodes have just overshadowed that B plot. Like, for a while, I was all into the Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, it's a C plot. I'm sorry. Well, no, yeah, that was a C plot.
Yeah. For a while, I was like all into the Kramer versus Kramer because I wanted them to say Kramer versus Kramer and have there be like a Kramer clone fight and stuff. But like, you know,
you were in it for a bit. That's it.
Yeah, come on, there wasn't a lot to go with on some of those some of those middling episodes there, right? Like. But as soon as the kids show up and we start getting like the Godspeed War and all this kind of stuff, I'm like, Kramer who? you know?
Right.
So I literally for the life, I'll have to go back and rewatch this episode.
You were big on the cloning tech. You were like, this is going to come back and play into the main storyline.
It's going to be cool. And like for a second there, I was like, oh, it is playing into the main storyline. She's a Godspeed. How does that make sense? Oh, wait, never mind. She's just a mimic.
No, I think the heart of the show was in the right place with what they were trying to do with the storyline. But man, as with a lot of this season, not great execution. I will say that I would be shocked if we don't see her come back into play in some form or fashion in next season, at least for like a second. But I was joking before, but I don't think that she's actually going to be like a new meta on Team Flash or anything.
No,
like
I wouldn't think so.
It was very I'll be the racist dragon. If you've not heard that song, it's quite hilarious, and that's kind of the story.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, she said she was taking an indefinite leave from CCPD, so yeah, she's gone.
Yeah, she's gone. Anyway, all right, well, there you go. That was Kramer versus Kramer. Anything else before we get into the speculation and such?
I don't think so. I think we covered it all.
I think we did. Great episode. Loved it. I mean, honestly, it was wonderful. And like I said, it'll go down in my mind as the best series finale thus far. I think even if, like, let's just assume that next season's the last season, which of course we have no confirmation that that's the case. But if that was the case, like, I still think that like the season finale has to top this. And that's going to be a tall order because this was phenomenal. It was great. And handled very, very well on a lot of different areas. If you disagree, let me know. But honestly, I thought it was great. So I'm here for it.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to bring us to
Speedster Speculation.
So there was one plot line that wasn't really wrapped up. Now, arguably, there was a couple of different plot lines that wasn't wrapped up because we never really got a chance to find out what's going to become of the kids, whether or not they're staying in the past, the present. You could imagine that next season we'll get back in and easily they could be gone. And maybe like a throwaway line will say like, oh, it's been like this ever since they went back home to the future. Or they could be here and we'll get some sort of like plot line dealing with the fact of why they're still here and why it's important. Or maybe a throwaway line of like, yeah, I know we decided to stay and we're all cool with it because we love the kids. That said, there was one plot line that seemed like it was either something or nothing that ended up being not at all addressed, but apparently will be addressed and kind of is a setup for what's coming next season. And that is Iris with the time disease. Belle, Iris has time sickness. She got the time COVID.
I mean, does she still have that? Like,
so yes is the answer to that question.
Barry had a dream that she was sick, and then like Nora said, oh, something's wrong with Mom, and then Nora actually comes in and she's like, no, everything's fine. And then she was sick because of they wanted to hide the pregnancy, but then she wasn't pregnant, and then she was sick because Dion had to take her into the Still Force to like prevent her from time melting. Like
there's been a lot of speculation around this, and we've gotten some different feedback from folks. No confirmations as to like where some of these kind of odd plot lines with Iris came from and what the mindset was behind it. Some people say that it has to do with travel arrangements and just kind of the craziness that was trying to you know record with COVID, so they had to make a lot of last minute changes to different people's storylines to accommodate when people were available and not available, which admittedly does make sense. And this was a hard year to do anything, let alone do a television series.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's not just even like with normal things that you might have to, like if, for example, there was a family emergency that she was, you know, called back home or something of that nature. She couldn't just come back and be ready to be on set. You had to go into lockdown for several weeks. And at the same time, you do have a schedule that you have to, you know, the show has to kind of go on quite literally. And so, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's something nefarious going on. Like we speculated pretty hard in the past. However, that said, we still don't know anything for sure other than this time sickness situation does appear to be adding to the plot line of next season and is going to play directly into her storyline and likely Barry and likely the kids' storyline early next season.
Well, I mean, that would be good because that means we'll get to see the kids. And so maybe the kids will be able to help, you know, protect their future, right?
Well, maybe. But at the same time, we got that kind of brief, weird moment where Bart says like, oh no, it's cool. Mom prepared us for when, and then Nora like cuts him off or vice versa.
So do you think it's more of a thing where instead of like with Nora, it was Barry that was missing after Crisis and now it's going to be Iris missing?
I do think that it is setting up some sort of situation where Iris is going to be gone for a minute and possibly until the season finale. Because it seems like if there was more dire consequences, or if we were meant to feel as though this is a real threat, the characters would feel like it was more of a real threat.
Right.
But I feel like the coolness that the kids have to me implies that maybe she is going to be, you know, either she's going to end up going to and kind of living with the forces for a while, which is, you know, possible. We've already seen that, you know, with her going off with Dion. It's also possible that she could become the Speed Force. Again, we speculated on this happening. I've become more on board with that idea. Just because, again, they've made a lot of changes. They've made a lot of changes to the lore here, and they've kind of forged their own lore with the way in which they're playing around with the forces and kind of these constructs and everything. I'd rather Iris become the Speed Force or become like a conduit for the Speed Force. I think that makes more sense and feels better than just, you know, Nora, so to speak. I like Speedster Iris. I think that's a cool potential change for her character.
Yeah.
I don't like Iris just kind of going away for a while. That I'm not a huge fan of that.
Yeah. And that's what's weird. Like, it just feels weird out of place. Like, I mean, we know she signed on for season 8, but we don't know in what capacity.
We don't.
If it was like she signed on not a season regular, but a, you know, whatever the opposite of season regular is.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's no details of the contract that's been revealed, probably to prevent wild speculation about stuff like this. So, yeah. And maybe they're just going to tie that into the storyline and just make it work, depending on her schedule and whatnot. But you're right. It doesn't feel like it's a big, massive threat because no one, like neither of the kids seem at all concerned about it.
Yeah, they're like, oh no, mom prepared us for Wendt. Like, that's the thing. Like, if it was, like, let's say that she was being, like, maybe she's been infected by some sort of time disease from the future. That's something that, like, we need to stop. But if she's kind of ascending in some form or fashion, right? Like, if she has to go through some sort of transformation that could be perceived as scary if you don't actually know what's going on. I don't know. That's where I think they're going with that. But I don't know.
Yeah. I don't.
What was the deal with Bart with Impulse from the comics? Like, didn't he have some sort of like time sickness?
Well, I know from Young Justice there was something to do, something similar to that, wasn't there?
No, they never really dealt with that in Young Justice, and it's like a weird thing about his character, but it like ages him up really quick.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I vaguely remember something like that. Yeah, he had some kind of like chronal displacement or something,
and it was something that like accelerated his age. And he had to go to the future. I can't remember. Anyway, point is, it is a thing. And so I wonder if we'll be dealing with Iris dealing with some sort of accelerated, whatever she has might accelerate her. And so she has to go into the Still Force and kind of be there until they can come up with a cure. I don't know. There's just a lot of different ways they can handle it, I suppose.
Yeah, but like that's the thing is, how do you make that a good motivator when like no one's really, it doesn't seem like a big deal or a big threat, so like how do you make it interesting and dramatic and whatnot?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's possible that we get, you know, I mean, like anytime that you have people from the past coming into the present, they tend to create issues. So it's very possible that, you know, the kids are prepared for it, but now they go back to the future. Oh well, that could be actually what it is. Maybe they go back to the future and they realize, oh, mom's thing didn't happen the way it was supposed to. We need to now come back in time to set it right. Because what was supposed to happen was this. But that didn't happen. And so now we got to fix it.
Yeah, you know? Maybe.
It's possible.
Yeah, because Godspeed's in Iron Heights. Like, wouldn't that mess up the entire future for Bart? Because
they commented on that, right?
Did they?
Bart said, like, you know, hey, if we take him out, this changes everything.
Right, he said that. But, like, wouldn't his timeline not exist anymore if they arrest Godspeed in the present? Like,
maybe.
Jay Garrick
maybe
never
not.
Died. And so he
we
never...
We don't know that Jay Garrick never died, though. This could still be part of the timeline.
So Godspeed, what, escapes in the future and kills Jay Garrick?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
We don't necessarily know. You know, the funny thing is, you know, spoilers, I suppose, for Loki. But, like, the way in which they handle their time travel, like, checks out so well. Both in Loki and in Captain America, or not in Captain America, in Endgame, and it kind of makes me mad. I'm like, why is this iron tight? This is so good. And then like it's like we have to you know, jump in like loops for other time travel based shows and such.
Well, it's because they established rules that were very easy to keep, right? Without breaking stuff.
They have for now, but I guarantee, like, that's the one. There does seem to be like one guarantee with time travel, and it's eventually you're going to get somebody somewhere in a franchise long enough who wasn't paying attention or just wants to do their own thing, and all the rules will be broken instantly.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I mean, like, everything with Eobard is timey-wimey. So, yeah, we will just have to see. But, okay, all right, well, there you go. What do y'all think's going on with Iris? Do you think she's going to be okay? Do you think what Nora and Bart are referring to is going on with her? Or do you think that's referring to something else totally different? Let us know your thoughts. And, yeah, let us know where you think the series is going. We have completed another season. What a strange, wild, crazy season it has been. And one of the things we like to do at the end of every single season is a kind of a call-in show and kind of a season wrap-up review, speculation, and everything. This has been such a crazy year, and it's been such a crazy season. I don't know how we're going to do the call-in show. Should we just do it? Should we do it different?
Yeah.
What should we do, Belle? I feel like we should do things differently this year, but I don't know how to do things differently.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
all right, great suggestion, Belle. Well, you know,
it's been a different season, but I mean, what do we do different? I don't know.
We could get
a spot on Jeff Bezos's spacecraft and do it from space.
We could do it from space. That's
anybody got $23 million we can borrow? Actually, it'd be $46 million.
Yeah, let's. All right. So
we have to cut the
season finale wrap up from space. Yeah,
we have to cut the show early because apparently Bezos's can't attain orbit, so we'd only be up there for like 10 minutes, 11 minutes.
I mean, it could work.
Yeah, we could do it.
We could do that. Or something better. So let us know what y'all's thoughts are. We'll kick around some ideas, but one way or the other, once we have it all kind of figured out, we'll put it up there. We might just hang out and drink. I have no idea. Anyway, we'll let y'all know once we get to it. But yeah, I think that's going to do it for us then for this week. But we want to let y'all know if y'all want to follow us on Twitter at Flash TV Talk, or you can follow Belle at Ring That Bell.
But if 280 characters is enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
Also, you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Flash TV Talk.
And as always, special thanks to Charlie Bach, who provides music for our show. You can check out the rest of his awesome stuff at soundcloud.com/Charlie Bach.
A shout out to TVTalk.fm. Hey, do you like the Flashcraft, the Minecraft, the Flash on the Minecraft? Be sure to check out Flashcraft over on our YouTube channel as well. Flash TV Talk on YouTube, you'll be able to find it there. We're having a lot of fun making Star Labs. Yep, that's right. We're doing it again because it's the end of that season as well. So we're wrapping it up with one of the greats. And if you've ever wanted to know how to make Star Labs in Minecraft, take a little extra time to try to show you all that. So be sure to check that out there. Again, that is Flash TV Talk's YouTube channel. That is going to do it for us for this week. But don't worry, we'll be back in a flash.
And scene.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Are you eating a sandwich?
No, I'm not eating a sandwich. I'm shut up.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.